software for the mind. The Recorded Book Corporation is proud to present Stuart Wilde's important and omniscient collection, The Mastery of Life series. Hello, this is Stuart Wilde. Welcome to our tape series on projecting self-confidence. Everybody has a certain amount of confidence in life. The very fact that you're listening to this tape means that you are a survivor. And in order for you to be a survivor, you must have got through the life experience, the life events, which means that you have a certain amount of successful experiences in life. And those successful experiences are a part of your mind. The subconscious mind records everything that you ever say or do, and it picks up information not only from those things that you're conscious about, but from information that comes in from the periphery of your perceptions. As you look at yourself as an individual, you can say to yourself, yes, I've had a pretty successful life, I'm here, I've done quite well, and now I want to move on. And this tape is particularly directed at going beyond some of those limitations that perhaps lie within your mind that limit you from becoming a total being or expressing as much energy or possibilities as are available to you. The main reason why people sometimes suffer a lack of confidence is basically because they see the world outside of themselves rather than inside of themselves. Let me explain that, because the concept to some people is a little obscure. When you go out into a park or into a forest and you look at a tree, what you're looking at is a reflection of light. That light hits the retina of the eye upside down and is converted up the right way through a mechanism in the brain. Even though that tree is, in effect, outside of you, it's not a part of your body, the only place that you can experience that tree is inside of you. It is subjective. You can only experience that tree in the mind. So when we look at something that is outside of us, we will have the illusion of us and the tree being separate. And as you look at life and you see it separate to you, it begins to take on a feeling that it is you against the world, that circumstances are actually attacking you or debilitating you in some way. And as you develop a philosophy or a mindset that says it's me against them, it's me against life circumstances, it begins to rattle the strength that you have inside of yourself. It rattles your confidence. The first step in self-confidence is to understand that everything you see, all the interactions and circumstances that you are a part of, are in fact a part of the inner you. And that part is unique to you. No two people experience life the same way, experience reality the same way. If we took 50 people out to the park to look at that same tree, they would all see a different tree. Because there are no two people walking the earth plane that have the same eye. The eye is made up of rods and cones, and the structure and quantities and the way that the rods and cones develop in the eye are always different and special to each person. No two people have exactly the same nervous system, and no two people have exactly the same contents to their mind. And so everybody will look at that tree and they will say, this is a green tree. And we will all agree on it being a green tree. But in fact, we are looking at 50 different trees if there's 50 people. What I'm trying to illustrate by this example is that what you see of the world is clouded by who you are. And a lack of self-confidence is always a matter of you not having quite enough power inside of yourself to control those circumstances that you experience. Once you can understand that you are your world, that everything is you, then you develop a connection between yourself and the outside forces, the outside circumstances of your life. As you take on that mindset or that idea, you can understand then that it is possible for you to begin to control what events you will pull to you and what events you will not pull to you. Things come to you through the laws of attraction. Whatever feelings and thoughts you express pulls to you from life those same events. If your self-confidence is not as strong as it might be, you will be constantly pulling to you people that are intrinsically weak. You'll be constantly pulling to you circumstances that will have a degree of spasticity in them. And so you'll find that events around you and those things you experience have a tendency to not quite work. Problems develop, people don't show up on time, things get lost, deals go down one way or another. And that in itself will accentuate this feeling inside of you that you are not dominant in your own empire, that you are not dominating your own life. It will accentuate a feeling of, gosh, I don't really control what's happening to me. And that will accentuate any difficulties that you may experience in developing power, in feeling that you are a strong, evolving, and developing female or male. And so what we're looking at is, we're looking at trying to reprogram the mind to establish an automatic confidence or an automatic positive expectancy about everything that you do. The inner mind, the subconscious mind, cannot tell the difference between fantasy and fact. And you can prove this to yourself if you will pause for a moment and think of a lemon. Imagine yourself eating that lemon. Imagine yourself chewing through the various pieces. As you think of that lemon, your mouth begins to salivate. It does so because your inner mind doesn't know that you're not eating a lemon. Your intellect, your conscious mind, knows that you are just imagining it, but the inner mind cannot tell the difference between fantasy and fact. So when a person lacks self-confidence, what usually has happened in their life is that they've begun to play through their mind a series of horror stories or horror films about what is going on in the world or what is going on in their life. Nervousness or a lack of confidence is always that energy coming forward from the inner mind saying, what if? And what happens, and is it safe, and will I make it? And in fact, what it's doing, the inner mind, is it's just playing you back the film or the tapes that are programmed in there. If you are that kind of person that suffers from this sort of negative replay that goes on in the mind, you can easily begin to change that. And in a way, you have already a marvelous quality in your life because it means that you have a very active and fertile imagination. The name of the game is to begin to understand that the horror stories or the fantasies that are inside the mind are not true. They are just fantasies. There is no reason why you cannot live your life in absolute confidence and safety right the way through till the end of your days. It is a fact that very few people ever die a violent death. I think I'm right in saying it's about 1% or less. But when you look at the media and the TV news and you hear about events going on in the world, it is always the violent death or the difficult situations that are featured, because you can't run a paper which deals with positivity. I mean, imagine a headline that says, Mr. and Mrs. Smith are living in Melbourne, they've had a lovely day, and tonight their kids are coming over for supper. You know, that doesn't make news. And so we have a tendency as humans to believe that all the atrocities that are going on in the world and all the terrible things are in fact reality and commonplace. They are exceptionally rare. Exceptionally rare. And it's the same for your life. If you think about your life, there may have been difficulty, there may have been accidents, there may have been periods of your time when you went through pain or anguish or frustration of some kind or another, but you made it. 99% of your life was fine, and you're here. And you have every opportunity to clean up that last small part that gives you botheration or causes you to feel that lack of confidence. You cannot go to a person who is not totally confident and say to them, be confident, because the mind won't accept that, because the mind is subjected to all of the programming that's in there. The way for you as an individual to develop self-confidence, to develop a poised, assured attitude to life, is for you to begin to look at your courage. In order for you to develop a stronger self-confidence, you have to have courage. And even if you're not naturally a courageous person, there is inside of you a quantum of that courage energy. And courage is one of those wonderful aspects of human life where if you use the aspect of courage within you, you become more courageous. And so what we're looking at in establishing self-confidence is understanding that as you push up against some limitation, as you move into an area that you're not familiar with, you're going to need a certain amount of courage to push through. And that's just you reprogramming your mind through affirmation, through feelings, that, hey, even though I'm going into this unknown situation, I can pull it off. I would suggest to you that you don't try to make major leaps. Some people like to operate like that, and they'll take this incredible leap in the dark. They'll throw themselves out of a plane with a parachute, having never parachuted, or they'll plunge themselves into having to speak publicly in front of a large audience, and they have that kind of personality. But if your personality is not like that, then what you need to do is set up a program for yourself on a daily basis whereby you will face areas that are uncomfortable for you, and you will push a little further than you went before. It has to be comfortable for you. And as you push further and you establish new goals and new ground, so to speak, you're going to have to stop and acknowledge, gosh, that was jolly good. Look at that. I went off and I handled that and I did it well. As you push out these boundaries, bit by bit, courage becomes an affirmation in your life. It becomes an affirmation of you knowing that in any one given set of circumstances, whatever they may be, you will have within you the ability to handle things. One of the reasons why people sometimes lack self-confidence is that they are overtly concerned with what other people think of them. You can get up on a stage in front of a whole bunch of people, and if you're worried about what people think of you, it'll rattle you, you'll become nervous, and you'll stumble, and you'll fall, and you'll make mistakes, and you maybe may make a complete idiot of yourself. However, if you walk up onto that stage, and you are not involved in what the people think about you, you can pull away from that emotion, and you can relax and deliver your speech correctly, amusingly, informatively, whatever it is that you're going to say to these good people that have gathered to listen to you. As human beings and as children, we were programmed to react to the responses of others. In other words, if your teacher at school said something to you, you were programmed to try to keep the teacher happy or to follow instructions, to react to the opinions or to react to the instructions of other people. And that's why that idea of, oh gosh, what will people think of me, is so deeply entrenched in the minds of men. When you can pull out a little bit from that, you're not so involved. And to do that, you have to have a feeling that you are okay as a person. The fact that you're not perfect, to me, is beautiful because it allows you something to work on. Whatever you are is whatever you are. And you're not going to have to make excuses to people. And if you get up on stage and you're talking in front of this audience and you make a mistake or you forget your words, or if you do something crazy like you fall off the stage, which happened to me once, I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And interestingly enough, I was talking about the collapse of the financial system and with the world economies and the pressure that some of these banking institutions are going under. And just as I came to the words, the economies of the world are were about to collapse. I fell off the stage. Well, what I did was, rather than feeling incredibly embarrassed and feeling like, my gosh, I'm a complete idiot, I made the falling off the stage a part of the dialogue. And everybody laughed like crazy, and I actually delivered about 4 or 5 minutes of my talk lying on the floor. I made it a part of the theater, I wrapped it in there, and it wasn't after I got to the end of my point that I got back up on my feet again and got back up on the podium. I could have collapsed, I could have died of embarrassment, but because I wasn't intimately involved in what those people are thinking, and because I knew that every single person in that audience at some time in their life have tripped or have slipped on a banana skin or have had that same kind of misfortune, what I did was I made that misfortune into a sample of, hey, we're all human and I'm human and I fell off the stage. If you can begin to see that, you're just human and you're only ever going to be dealing with other people that are also just human. And whatever weaknesses you have inside you, whatever uncertainties, they will have as well. And in fact, they're not going to think you're an idiot. What they're going to see is they're going to see that you're going through the same kind of things that they go through. And that will cause them to have compassion to you. So as you look at self-confidence and you look at courage, you understand that the way to build courage is to begin to familiarize yourself with the world around you. If you have delivered 1,000 speeches in 1,000 halls someplace, for you to do the 1,001st speech is simple. If you have to go and deliver a speech, and it's the very first time you've done it, because you're not familiar with what's going to be happening to you, it will rattle your confidence. If you want to become a confident, powerful, assured being, you have got to begin to work on expanding who you are and doing your homework, so to speak. Let us say you're a salesman, and you've been assigned a new territory. Rather than just driving into the territory and going and seeing the first customer at 9 a.m. Monday morning, what I would do is I would arrive in the territory on Sunday, and I would drive to the area that I was supposed to cover, and I would familiarize myself with the area. Where's the bus stop? Where's the station? What are the shops? What does a place look like that I have to go to? You may want to peek in the window. What does the furniture look like? What is this situation around here? And as you familiarize yourself with the situation, then when you walk back into it, you do not arrive with that energy of newcomer. You already have an understanding of what you're doing. Familiarity is the way to develop self-confidence. And sometimes we can't be bothered. We would rather sit in a corner nervous than to begin to break down that nervousness. Any time that you have performed a function or some series of actions in your life successfully, it allows you a tape in your mind that has that information. And so if you went and you made a sales call on Monday morning in this new territory, and the sales call was positive and the people liked your presentation, and whether they bought or didn't buy is irrelevant, just as long as it was a positive and warm interchange between yourself and those other people that you went to see, you would take a moment to replay that tape in your mind. You replay getting out of the car, walking in the store, what was said, how did you open your notes, or how did you present your product or your samples, what worked, what didn't, when you spilt the coffee, why was that? Next time, perhaps you're going to be sure that the coffee is not so near the edge of the table, or that as you're waving your arms around demonstrating this incredible thing that you're trying to sell them, you make sure that the coffee's out of reach and away to one side, perhaps. And as you replay that tape in your mind, it sets up a feeling of strength, because again, the mind doesn't know that it's fantasy, and so the mind thinks that you're actually in that shop making that sale. As you begin to work with this familiarity concept, you begin to stake out around you a territory, a geographic area that you feel comfortable in. It always amazes me how people can live in a town or in a neighborhood and not know it. And you've had that experience when you stop a person and they live somewhere and you say, where is Acacia Avenue? And they say, I don't know, I've only been here 30 years. They don't know what they actually have around them. when you can stake out your territory, whether you're staking out a relationship where you're getting to know the other person, familiarizing yourself with what their likes and dislikes, familiarizing yourself with their personality and their motivations, or whether you're staking out a territory where you're being hired in a new office to do a new job, or whether it's a geographic area, as you take time to stake it out and to really feel what's going on, you will begin to establish little power places inside there that you can relate to. It might be something simple like a little cafe that you like to visit in a particular part of a neighborhood where the people are friendly, and that cafe represents a positive energy to you. It may be a little park that you like to walk in lunchtime, but you know the trees, you know the benches, you know how it feels at that time of day. And as you stake out this idea, or you stake out this territory, you begin to create more and more tapes in your mind that says, I control my dimension. I control my hemisphere of influence. And as you establish that feeling of control, the self-confidence is no longer a problem. It's automatic. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at developing a way of knowing. I remember as a small boy walking in a forest with my father, and he would say to me, Stuart, which way are we walking? North, south, east, or west? And of course, I'd look at all the thick trees. I couldn't see the sunlight. I didn't have a clue. I'd say, I don't know. And so that was a sense of not being familiar. And my father would say to me, we are walking northeast. And I'd say to him, how do you know we're walking northeast? And he would show me the moss on the side of the tree. And in England, all the rains and all the moisture comes in from the west across the Atlantic. And so the moss always grows on the west side of the tree. So if you look at the tree and you know one side is west, so you can work out from that where north, south, and east are. As I've walked in forests in the world, I've used this one simple little technique to familiarize myself. And then suddenly my fear of walking in a forest has dissipated because I understand that I'm not going to get lost. One of the things I used to do was I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I would walk in the woods at night. And of course at night you have the stars and the moon to help you align yourself. But it allows you a complete sense of security and feeling if you understand the forest. Another thing that I find useful in familiarizing myself in a geographic area is I like to be sure that I know in which direction I'm going. Another way that you can tell in what direction you are going is obviously to look at the sun. During the day, around noon, the sun is always to the south. And so if you know that, then you'll know that if you look at a tree, the shadow will be cast to the north. And so you can be sure of which way you're going. And so if you're driving through a town and you just don't know where you are, but you know that you have to head to the north of the town, you can look at the shadow of a lamppost and you can say to yourself, well, at least I'm going in the right direction. The point about these techniques is that the more you know about your circumstances, the more you take time to notice and discover what's going on, the more you feel a part of that area. And that's why people like to live in neighborhoods and towns for years and years and years, because the familiarity allows them a sense of security. When you look at the way that the mind handles fear, you can understand that it is reacting nervously to what is basically only an unknown situation. And that is all fear. If you hear a gun go off, it may cause you to experience fear because you don't know who is shooting, whether they're shooting at you, or whether or not that may result in your body being physically harmed. If I tell you a man is going to shoot off a gun in 3 minutes on the corner, and in fact he's shooting at a target that is 300 yards away in the opposite direction, when that gun goes off, it doesn't cause you fear because you move from the unknown to the known. And so as you look at all the various types of nervousnesses and all the various types of insecurities, all of them always come from this unknown. Sometimes that unknown may be just a phobia. For example, many people are scared of heights. And the reason they're scared of heights is because there's an unknownness about the height. If I'm on this ledge, will I fall? is the question the mind asks, and the fantasy of the mind plays a tape of falling off a ledge. And as it begins to play the tape of falling off the ledge, your muscles actually begin to fall off the ledge. So, as you begin to identify the various forms of fear that you have, and fear is not necessarily unmitigating terror, it can just be a nervousness of meeting people that you haven't met before, or it could be a nervousness in sexuality, or a nervousness in handling your finances, or walking into a bank to open a bank account, or whatever it may be. But what you're always looking at is this factor of the unknown. And so once you begin to train your mind to feel the courage inside of you, to honor and respect its wings, to honor and respect those successes that you've already had, you begin to dissipate the strength of that fantasy. If I lay a plank on the floor, and it's 6 inches wide, and I say to you, I will give you a large sum of money to walk across this plank without falling off it, you will walk across the plank very successfully, no problem. If I then take the same plank and I put it up between two high walls 60 feet above the ground, and I say to you, walk across this plank, I'll give you a large sum of money, often you won't be able to. And the only difference is, the plank is the same, is it not? The only difference is the tape that's playing in your mind. Once you can slow that tape down, you've won. Confidence becomes a natural part of your life. As you begin to have that inside of you, then you can begin to project the self-confidence. And projecting the self-confidence is a matter of being careful as to the words or the vocabulary you use to describe your life. Every time you say, I can't do it, or it is difficult, or it's hard, or I'm not sure, or whatever words you use, you continually reprogram, affirm, and strengthen the power of the fantasy in your mind. If something is difficult for you, you don't say to others, this is a terrible struggle for me. You say, it is a challenge, and I'll put myself into it with my heart and soul. If you can't do something, you don't say, I can't do it. What you say is, I have no experience in this matter, but please give me the opportunity to learn, and I will put my heart and soul into it once more, and I'll do the very best I can. It's only a matter of thinking through what words you use. Take time to listen to the quality of your vocabulary. How many times you express negative expectancy, which is basically a fantasy that says it won't work. It's a fantasy that says if things are going to go wrong, they're bound to go wrong. And that isn't the case. Most things go right for most people most of the time. And even if things don't quite turn out exactly how you expected, it doesn't matter, for if you're imbalanced and you're powerful and you're assured, whatever does turn out will be fine anyway. So if you go to the airport and you miss the plane, there's probably a reason why you missed the plane. And probably there was somebody really interesting that you had to meet at the airport, or you got to travel in another plane in a more comfortable seat, or maybe they upgraded you from economy class to first class, or maybe you arrived at the hotel at the other end after there'd been a riot and it was all over and they cleaned it up by then. It's always important to allow yourself to drop into a sense of flow and to drop into a feeling of positive expectancy. Again, you can't tell the mind, hey, we're going to have positive expectancy. Because if it has negativity in it, it can't play positive expectancy. But as you begin to discipline your vocabulary, you begin to change the quality of your energy. Then, as you become more and more powerful, your words become a symbol of that power. It is almost as if your word becomes law. And that, again, takes courage, it takes discipline, and it takes follow-through. If you say, I am going to give up smoking, then if you say that, you have to follow through. If you say to somebody, I will take you to the station at 3 o'clock, you follow through on that commitment. And when you follow through, you affirm in confidence, hey, I came up with this idea, I uttered it through my vocabulary, my word became law, and the event happened. If a person asks you to take them to the station and you cannot follow through by taking them to the station at, say, 3 o'clock, then all you're going to do is you're going to communicate to them that it is not possible for you to follow through with their request. And so you would call them and you would say, I can't take you there at 3 o'clock, but I can manage it by 3:30. Or, I can't take you there at 3 o'clock, but here's the telephone number of a taxi service that can. And so you begin to see yourself moving out of the chatter of fantasy into this powerful human being that does what she says she's going to do, or does what he says he's going to do. So often you will listen to people jabbering away about all of these plans for their life, and they have absolutely no intention of ever following through. Once the inner mind realizes that you don't follow through, it doesn't feel the intensity or the power to hone you in the right direction. If a person is wishy-washy in the way they use vocabulary, the way they use thinking, it doesn't allow them to have that intensity of concentration that sometimes it takes for you to achieve your goals or for you to feel confident. This is the end of the side. Please fast forward.